What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, a morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 27th. Happy Friday. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. My gosh, did you choose Shane Boz to start yesterday? You should have, because he dominated as the Shane has left the tracks. And that is two ways, right? He's left the tracks of the station. You can't get him anymore. And also he's left the tracks of how this is going to be successful. 8 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. So what has Shane Boz done? Well, if you've been reading my roundups and listening to this podcast over the last few weeks, months even, Shane Boz has a really good four-seamer. He has a really good curveball. He's not tipping anymore. And also, he needed something else outside of the slider. He stopped throwing a thank you, and he made it a harder cutter. And that cutter is the exact bridge pitch that he needs between the four-seamer and the curve. Just throw strikes inside the zone. Be a good offering there that allows him to then throw this 87-mile-per-hour curveball and 96-97-mile-per-hour fastball. And what do you know? He threw it 40% of the time, that cutter, for a 41% CSW and 72% strike rate. Boom. There it is. He has made it. I am very excited. I will mention, he started using the cutter last time. It wasn't as good of a start. It was a good one. I was really excited for this one because I was hoping he would lean more into it, which he did. But sample size of 1 for it really working out. So we'll see if it works out against the Athletics. But I am very excited. And it's not in Sacre Verde. It is in Tampa Bay, which I think is better. I'm pretty sure it's better. So Shane Boz must add at this point. Kevin Gausman against the Guardians in Cleveland. 8 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. Look at that. 15 whiffs, 28% CSW. The command was much better. And it wasn't command of the four-seamer like Blake Snell blueprint or so. When Gausman is very good, it's him landing arm side and down with both the four-seamer and splitter pretty much overlaid a bit, with the splitter being a little bit lower and the four-seamer just kind of being up and arm side on both right-handers and left-handers. And that allows him to add just a ton of deception of what is actually coming and really makes both of them help out. It's like Logan Webb getting the called strikes on his sinker and then whiffs on the changeup. It's the same kind of idea. So good to see that here. And it's possible he does well against the Yankees next. I'm not going to bank on it. I think we've been seeing the back and forth a bit from Gausman. He is a bit of a hipster, but this is not the guy from April. Okay, this is a different one. I feel like all of June, we've seen that movement on the splitter return, and we saw 2 really good starts with it, and then the command has been gone for 3 starts, and now this is a better command, and feels like the first time, that's a foreigner reference, that he's actually putting them both together for, a year and a half, save for those other 2 games. Anyway, Kevin Gausman, we're going to try it out, maybe, with the Yankees. It's a questionable start. Hunter Brown ace is going to ace. He deserves it. I know the Phillies are not as strong of an offense as they have been. They're only in the middle tier with PLB projections. Still, 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 9 strikeouts. His curve and changeup were fantastic to left-handers. See, finally, there's more than just 4 seamers and sinkers doing things. That's great. Also, the heater, 97 miles per hour. Yep. You aren't, everyone else is shouting me. Of course, Hunter Brown is an ace. Look at the results. I get it. It's also just been so strange. And all right, it's really a case of like the fastballs are always there. The curve and the change against lefties were here this time. I'm not going to bank that it will continue. He's also grounded into more double plays, I feel, than like what? He's in like 95th percentile of starting pitchers, something like that. Inside Edge was telling us about that before, which does explain how he's gotten out of certain things to keep that ERA down. Still, Hunter Brown, obviously, ace is going to ace right now. Shota Imanaga, I am actually wearing my I'm an AGA shirt right now for those who are watching on YouTube. And I'm an AGA. Well, maybe after 2 more starts, Shota. But this was 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. The rule of thumb, when guys are coming back from the IL, they need 3 good starts to showcase themselves as that ace before we actually go after it and we'll give them that tag. Sometimes 4. I might need 4 here because this wasn't necessarily the best version. It was 90 mile per hour fastballs, not really like 91 or 92. It was also very questionable command, I think. It was inside the zone and he had control, but he has really good 2-plane movement with that 4-seamer. The sweeper is working against left-handers. The splitter's still there. Seven whiffs over 77 pitches is not great. And it's also 18% CSW, which is obviously not great either. It's not really the old classic Shota. This was at St. Louis. It's a still though. All right. Hopefully it is much better after this. We have Dietrich Enns. Oh my gosh. Who? Pitching for the Tigers. And he went against the Athletics as a lefty. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 2 walks, and 4 Ks in Detroit. 13 whiffs, 32% CSW. He was my stream pick of the day. Same with PLBot. And PLBot actually made me alert to it because I didn't even know he was going to go. And then they had Enns as the stream pick of the day. I was like, wait, why? And then I looked at him on Savant and I noticed that he throws high four seamers at 93 miles per hour with 17 inches of vert and he has a decent changeup. And that's pretty much what we saw here. This was also a right-handed heavy lineup, so that changeup really cooked and got outs. While the only times he faced a lefty was against Nick Kurtz twice, who, guess what? That was half of his strikeouts. 2 four-seamers upstairs fanned Nick Kurtz. He was really upset at himself. That's half of his 4Ks. And I didn't really think that this was an elite changeup, as we've seen from a lot of other lefties. I also question if that fastball can be this effective. It does feel like that 17 inches of vert is actually good vert and not bad vert, which we've seen with other arm angle or extreme arm angle guys. So I think this is cool. I don't know how long Enns is going to be around. Reese Olson is expected back next week. If he gets to Nationals, I'm not so certain that he would be good because it's a changeup that's really working, and that's against a left-handed lineup. I don't know if I really like the, I believe it's the cutter that he threw against Kurtz that much. I wouldn't really go after it. It would be a very questionable stream. Maybe even top of do not start because it's just not worth risking. But that's Dietrich Enns, if you were warning about that. And yes, I don't want to make the pun. Everyone's thinking it. I don't want to do it, okay? Simeon Woods Richardson against the Mariners got the win. 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. This is one of the better starts, maybe the peak of the ceiling for Simeon Woods Richardson with 82 pitches thrown here. He normally doesn't go very long, and going more than 5 innings is something that you really won't see much at all from him. His heater does have a lot of vert, 19 to 20 inches worth, but he doesn't throw it high to left-handers at all. He did save it for right-handers, and he kind of went Blake Snell blueprint with it, and that's really been the success when I've seen SWR actually have success, right? That's 4 seamers up, slider's actually looking really good at times. But the left-handed approach is still weird. Like, it's cutters and splitters and some sliders and four-seamers, and it's just nothing's really good against them. He did get 2 strikeouts on the splitter, but, I don't really buy that moving forward. I'm glad he had something to put him away at those moments, but it's not for me. He gets the Marlins next. Do I want to start Simeon Woods Richardson there? No. I don't really feel like you're going to get enough, and this was a ceiling start with just 9 whiffs and 82 pitches also. Griffin Canning, poor guy, 2.2 innings of 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 3 Ks as he left this game with an injury. It looks like it's an Achilles, and that's just tough. So I feel bad for him, and I really, really feel bad because it's been a kind of a magical season for him. Sure, the last month hasn't been as good for Canning, but he really felt like it was locating his slider and changeup better, more movement on those 2 pitches. He had this opportunity with the Mets and was getting all his attention. I feel really bad for him. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Christopher Sanchez was absurdly good. Grant Holmes, are we still moving forward with that? We have Clayton Kershaw and Tanner Bibee, just some stuff, and we'll talk about all of that after this break. Grant Holmes against the Mets. 5 innings, 2 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 17 whiffs. And the slider was really electric, but they did have a couple hangers that were the slap for hits against righties. The curveball was a really good strikeout offering, but not much else. It showed up at times, but that's it. It kind of missed a lot. The cutter, well, the cutter is kind of cool. It's 92 miles per hour, and it's in the zone a lot, and it's effective. And this is really mainly for lefties, sometimes against righties. While the four-seamer should not be the sole strike pitch for the slider. So I like the fact that Holmes is leaning into this, especially against left-handers. And I hope that the curve can continue to be effective. Now, this was 6 hits and 3 walks because the heater wasn't getting enough strikes. It was 56% heaters. And the 50% strike rate on the curve, not really that good. It needs to be a better one there. So that's really what happened with Holmes. Also, some of these sliders got too much of the plate. There's some extra hits. But 17 whiffs, 30% CSW, 97 pitches against the Mets. You see what it is with Holmes here. And what's so interesting with him throughout the entire season is that there is this clear ceiling when it clicks, right? That he can execute at times. And that's really exciting and good. The question is, all right, we don't really expect it all the time. Is the middle ground good enough? And I generally think it is. I think you're getting enough strikeouts to justify this. I think you are getting a good chance at wins. And I imagine the ratios are not going to be studly. That's just kind of how it is with Holmes. But I think it's very much worth your time with the win chance and the strikeout rate. And hopefully the ceilings really pull everything else down with the ERA and WHIP. You have Emerson Hancock with a start against the Twins in Minnesota. 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 2 strikeouts. I'm happy it worked out for him. But this was really sinkers and four-seamers finding gloves, and the secondaries are not there. Christopher Sanchez had a golden goal with 18 whiffs and a 39% CSW. My gosh. 6 innings, a 1-run ball, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 11 strikeouts. 24% usage on the slider is kind of cool with 7 over 54 whiffs and a 54% CSW. It was pretty much all righties. Actually, it was all righties against the Astros here. And it's kind of wild how he's been consistent and good despite that forearm injury scare that he had. Like, he's just continued and thrown through it. And, like, this is a really amazing peak. I'm so happy for him. The changeup, by the way, did not miss really in the middle at all. So that's sometimes what we see when there are more hits and more damage done. The sinker got all these called strikes. I'm really happy about this. You should not expect him to be this 11 strikeout guy. Think of it like Seth Lugo last year had those games of 10 strikeouts or so, but he really settled to be like a 21%, 22% strikeout rate guy. That's what Christopher Sanchez is. You have Clayton Kershaw at Colorado. Got the win in Coors, 6 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. A lot of hittable fastballs. The slider was really good down. And he also had one splitter down the pipe, gotten out. That's fun. He's going to get the White Sox next. I think he got to do that. It's just too good of a win chance. Austin Gomber was on the other side and got the gold star for 5 innings of 1-run ball. 4 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But this is the Dodgers in Coors, and it's Austin Gomber. That's awesome. Yeah, props to him. Do not go with him. Tanner Bibee, very interesting one. 6 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. This was the best start I've seen all year from Tanner Bibee. He had 17 whiffs, 31% CSW across 96 pitches. Now, last start, I was excited because the sweeper finally got whiffs. But in this one, it was just 2 of 17. In fact, it was actually everything else, really, that had a much better feel. It was the curveball and the changeup that was actually down to lefties. You have cutters doing well and staying away against right-handers. And actually seeing the sinker not be away at all to right-handers, actually being either middle or middle in. I know middle is not ideal, but generally I can see the intent now of going inside and somewhat decent at it. That is good. I'm really annoyed he has to get the Cubs next, but Tanner Bibee, I think, is on the mend here. I think this is actually an improvement and a trend in the right direction here. So I'm tempted to still start him against the Cubs, but obviously that's a tough one to endorse. You have Andre Pallante against the Cubs, speaking of which, 5 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. The cut fastball is 95-96. We love that. That's really good. He has sliders down to right-handers. That's cool. The curve is a 45% strike rate. The slider does not help against lefties. The Cubs are good. That makes sense. Now he does get the Pirates next. And with at 95-96, with a good slider, that should be fine. I'm not going to say that you need to circle it to stream it, but Andre Pallante can certainly do well there and get you a win, quality start, maybe decent ratios. Jeffrey Springs was not sunshine and rainbows in Detroit. 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. You get nothing. 2 for 21 changeup whiffs here is just not it. So we move on. I don't really want to go after it. You want to maybe consider dropping Hayden Birdsong? You have 4 innings of 7 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 1 strikeout. Now, this is clearly the floor that I've been talking about for a while, and props to Birdsong for not showcasing this for a bit. This was just horrific four-seamer command. He went far too upstairs and missed a ton. 15% CSW on that four-seamer. You also have curveballs at a 40% strike rate. Oh boy. The slider was the only pitch he could throw for a strike, but then it was down the middle. So we essentially saw donut command of just down the middle or way out, and that slider was tagged. Oh man, it was such a meatball. So he's still in the rotation. Kyle Harrison is not in it. It's possible he gets removed for a minor leaguer, could be I don't know, like Mason. I want to say it's Mason Smith, but it's not. Then you also have Carson Wisenhunt, Mason Black. Oh my gosh, jeez. So it's totally possible that Birdsong eventually lands in the pen, which is what we expected before, but it's possible he goes again against Arizona, and I don't expect it to be this bad, right? Because of course it's, you know, this is the floor for Birdsong, but you might not want to do that. Corbin Carroll is on the IL still. I don't really want to go for it, and if you're holding on to Birdsong, I think you can do better. Jansen Junk and Michael Lorenzen also went yesterday, and the both were very bad. And you really shouldn't go with either one. Lorenzen went against the Rays, 5.2 innings, 400 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. And Jansen Junk went against the Giants opposite Birdsong, 3.2 innings of 500 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? It's just so many fastballs down the middle for 0 for 32 whiffs. And that's supposed to be the thing, because it was 18 inches of vert, and he didn't elevate it. And the slider got hit. Even if he located it well, which he kind of did, it was all 4 of his whiffs, and that's it. You don't want to go with Jansen Junk. But all right, that is it for today. Enjoy the weekend. I want to let everybody know that if you have not checked out the tools we offer with PL Pro, you really are missing out. You get my sit and start tiers for 2 weeks. So you can plan out your two steps incredibly easily. You can figure out who you're going to pick up for streams just by a grid, and you just see my ranks right there. You also get an extra day of my written and detailed 1 through 30 ranks for an extra day for the SP streamers article. You also get access to our Discord, the best baseball community on the internet. And oh yeah, there's also the pro dashboard that we're creating that includes a live draft assistant, all of our PLV projections, and all of our incredible apps like the rolling charts for Process Plus, the number one hitting statistic. You can use MLB organizations use it. It is, I kid you not, the best stat you can look at to determine if a hitter is doing well or not. So go get that today. You get 15% off PL Pro yearly by using promo code podcast. That's 15% off with promo code podcast at pitchers.com/premium. Sign up today to PL Pro yearly. That is it for today. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.